Remain standing.
Father, forgive us, for we know what we do. I'm tired. I ain't sure about happy, but amen. Genesis chapter 40. Genesis chapter 40 this evening. Before I forget, we have confirmed VBS work day this Saturday, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. So, Tony said he'd feed you ice cream out of the freezer. So there you go. I think there's some in there. So I promised right. So, 2 o'clock Saturday. So if you can help with that, it'd be great. All right, Genesis chapter 40 this evening. We're going to continue tonight looking here at the life of Joseph. Verse 4, chapter 40, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things," and just to draw our mind back, we know last time we looked in chapter 39, we saw Joseph, how he had been from the auction block of a slave. Now he's been put over many things because the Bible said that God was with him. We looked at the fact of how Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. We looked at some things on that. And again, be careful. Do not get yourself in a place. Again, the Bible says that it was a time when there was no other man in the house. It was just him and her. And again, I can't stress enough, especially in the day and hour that we live in, we've got to be careful. Do not put yourself in a place. We work with children. Do not put yourself in a place to get, you know, again, it's your word against theirs. And even in chapter 39, we're not going to take a whole lot of time to go back and look at it. She went to her husband, told her side of the story, and guess who he believed? He sure didn't believe Joseph. And again, I can't stress enough how you must be careful to guard your testimony, to guard yourself. Verse 1, again, it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and the baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, and he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And again, Joseph's in prison now because of what had taken place there with Potiphar's wife. Verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued to season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today?" And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters therefore brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them in Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after former manner where thou wast his butler." Verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost baskets there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head." And Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee." And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all the servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto the butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him. Let's pray. Father, we sure love you. We sure thank you, Lord, once again for the truth of the Word of God. I pray, Lord, tonight, God, as we continue our walk through this great book, I pray, Lord, that you'll help us tonight, God, not to hear what man thinks or what man says, but God, I do pray, God, that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, God. I pray that you'd encourage. I pray, God, that you would strengthen tonight, Lord. And as always, Lord, we do want to pray for the lost, God. Lord, if there would be somebody here on a Wednesday night that was lost, I pray, God, tonight would be the night, Lord, they'd hear truth and, God, get saved. And, Lord, just have your way here this evening, Lord. We'll thank you for what you do. For us in Christ's name, I do pray. Amen. You'll be seated this evening. Let me read something else to you before. I hope this don't get you distracted on the verses we read, but I did want to read this. I could have read it earlier, I guess, but I printed it off and had to run back there and get it. I forgot I'd printed it off. Brother Beatty sent this out, and again, I do remember our commissioners. We met with Brother Beatty a couple weeks ago there, or last Wednesday night, I guess it was, and Wednesday morning, and they told us about the battle there still on the issue of prayer. And just to show you how much craziness is going on just close by, Brother Beatty put out this today from Return America. It says, the Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners recognizes month of Ramadan. Mecklenburg County, North Carolina, has officially recognized the month of June as the month of Ramadan. The Board of Commissioners' vote was 6-3. Commissioners over one county, this is the report that came out, commissioners over one county in North Carolina have approved a resolution recognizing June as the month of Ramadan. The Mecklenburg County Board of Commissioners adopted the resolution on Tuesday with 6 in favor and 3 against. Ramadan is a sacred time that commemorates the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad and encourages fasting, prayer, reflection, God consciousness, and gratitude. The resolution reads, each day of fasting teaches the soul to struggle with the self, preserve, be patient, and to forgive and love. It asserts that Islam is a part of America's history and that Muslims should be recognized for their contributions. Ramadan reminds us that Islam has always been a part of America. America and Muslims have made extraordinary contributions to our country, including those made by the famous Muslim scholar Omar Ibn Said, who was enslaved and brought to the Carolinas in 1807, the resolution states. Most people opposed the decision, but the commissioners did it anyway. Democrats George Dunlap and Dunmark Clark were the sponsor of the proposal. And during the commission meeting last week, those in favor of the resolution spoke to those gathered out about the traditions that are observed in the Islamic holiday. Following the vote, the board posted a notice to social media writing, Mecklenburg Board of Commissioners adopts a proclamation that declares May 26th through June 24th as the month of Ramadan. All the comments under the post were in opposition to the resolution, with one follower remarking, you do not do that for any other religion. I get it. You're scared both of Muslims and of being called Islamophobic. You're a pathetic. The opposing commissioners had this to say. Again, it was a 6-3 vote. Commissioners Jim Pickett, Matthew Ridenhour, and Bill James were the only board members to reject the idea. They wrote this, said, to the best of my knowledge, we have never, and I don't think it would be proper, to adopt a resolution in support of Lent, Easter, Christmas, Hanukkah, Passover, Yom Kippur, Pioneer Day of Mormons, Dawah, Puckett said in an email according to the Charlotte Observer. Once again, the Charlotte Mecklenburg County area of North Carolina has succeeded in making a decision that should cause the rest of the state to hang our heads in shame. And they tell our commissioners that they can't pray. So that's just up the road. It'll be here next. What are we going to do? We're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're going to keep praying, keep serving the Lord, keep lifting up the name of Jesus. So just want to throw that out there, let you know that, keep up with what's going on. All right, back to Genesis chapter 40 this evening. Again, just to draw our minds back to what we looked at in Genesis 39, we left off there with the fact of how Joseph stayed true. We looked at the fact that Joseph inserted there in verse number 9, it was great wickedness and sin against God. That is what sin is. It's great wickedness, and sin is not against me. It's not against you. When we sin against God. And then We've come on down, and then we didn't read the rest of the chapter there, but we know that after she makes her advancements towards him, he leaves his clothes. She grabs his clothes as he's running out. Her husband comes in. She makes it saying that it was Joseph's fault. He goes after Joseph and puts him in prison. So that brings us up to chapter 40. And in chapter 40, there's really three things that sort of you can sort of break out of this chapter. But there's one thing that we want to just really look at tonight, found in verse number 8. But let me give you those three things that we can divide this chapter out. Verses 1 through 4, we see Joseph again. And again, look, just to rewind way back a little bit, look at where Joseph has come from. Here Joseph is, loved of his father, hated of his brothers. Here Joseph has been given a dream that he's going to stand and rule and they're going to bow down to him, and his brothers hated him. Joseph goes from that beloved child with a coat of many colors to his brothers wanting to kill him, and instead of killing him, they put him in the pit, and from the pit we know that he's sold, and then he's brought from the pit down to Egypt, and then he's sold there on the slave block, and then he's bought there by Potiphar, and now he's working there as a slave. Still doing right, still not just sitting there whining and complaining. He's every day doing as God has commanded him to do, and he's kept his chin up, and he's keep going on for the Lord. And now God has brought him from the place of a slave block, that now he's a slave in Potiphar's house, to now he's over most of the workings there in the house. I mean, God has prospered him. Why? Because he was obedient. Even in those hard times, he was obedient. Well, now we see again, he just falls another notch. He goes from being a slave and working in Potiphar's house, now he's in prison. But again, we've got to see that even in prison, did you notice what happens? He becomes over the prison, basically. They've given him rule. They've given him charge inside the prison. Isn't that amazing? People today always want to be up front, but they're not willing to go down to get up. And in the things of God, that's the way it works. Even the Lord himself showed himself how. He left heaven and what? Descended. So what? That he could go back up. Look with me a couple of places. Look in Matthew chapter 23. And again, it ought to be our mindset this evening. It's not, you know, we put, and again, I understand, we all want things. We all want to prosper. We all, you know, I'm not saying you need to live under a bridge and again, you know, that's not super spiritual to have nothing, and it's not wrong to have something, you know, but you know, we ought to be content. And I've seen God bless, you know, over and over time again because of just being faithful to God. God is faithful. We're not faithful, but God is faithful. So look here in Matthew chapter 23 real quickly, just on that thought. Verse 12 says, and Matthew 23, 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." Now, again, we put too much emphasis in this world. Again, if you live to be 100 years old, what is that in comparison to eternity? We are going to have that payday someday. And God bless us here. I mean, it's not, you know, I'm waiting to get paid. God's good to me. And if you'll be honest, God's good to you. And I've found out over the years, and I don't give to get. I don't give my offerings and my tithes. I don't give my service to get. But I promise you, I've never been able to outgive God. God continually. And I have those pity moments just like everybody else. When's my turn? I'm tired of being on the bottom of the totem pole. Come on, let's be honest. I mean, we get that servitude about us. We get that mindset of, you know, and it's right to have that mindset of service. But our flesh sometimes says, wait a minute, when it's my turn to be served a little bit. But we need to make sure that we understand that our place is to be as a servant. If we exalt ourselves, you're not going to get anything. I promise it. Look with me in James chapter 4. James chapter 4, look in verse number 10. The Bible says in James 4:10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Again, if we get our eyes on here, you'll get pretty aggravated and discouraged. But when we realize that, and as we looked last week about our work ethic, you know, we need to do everything that we do, not to please man, but to please the Lord. If whatever your job is in this life, if you'll do it not as you're doing it for a man, but you're doing it for God, and that's the way God said it is, well, preacher, I'm a this. Still, whatever you are, do it as you're doing it unto the Lord, and you'll be amazed how much better you'll enjoy your job and your craft or wherever you're at in your life when you realize every day you're not getting up to go serve a man, you're getting up to serve the Lord. So, again, we see here that Joseph went down, but we see him coming back up as a leader here, even in the prison. So verses 1 through 4. Verses 5 through 8, again, we see a great trail of Joseph. Again, he's back from being there at his father all the way down into that prison place. And again, I want you to notice he's not sitting here in the jail sucking on his thumb. He's not sitting there like nobody loves him. He's working. He's busy. Apparently, again, he's been faithful because God is blessing him, and he's moved up through the timing of being in that prison cell to the place where they have given him a role there, even in the prison there. So, again, we must choose to serve God where God places us. And as a preacher I heard preach one time, I think his brother Barker preached that message, I think even here, bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. And then my wife was reading, we was going somewhere one day this week, and she was reading some quotes. I like quotes, she likes quotes, and I don't remember who wrote this, but I thought, boy, it's wonderful, and I wrote it down, and I hope I can remember it. We've sort of gone out of spring, but when spring around, you know, you get all these beautiful flowers, right? I mean, you'll see some of the most beautiful flowers. Now, you picture in your mind a flower right now, whatever flower that is. This is basically what the quote said. Every flower, no matter how beautiful it is, had to go through the dirt sometime. Now you think about that. Every flower, as beautiful as a flower that you could think of, that flower had to come up through that ground and break through that dirt, become that flower that it became. And we are going to have to understand that we're going to have to go through troubles and trials and hard times, and we're going to have to go through those dirt parts of our life. But there is a blooming one day, amen. And we see this in Joseph's life here. So I want to encourage you again that just remember, God was with him, God's with us. And listen, don't listen to man. Most people would look at the life of Joseph and say, where was God? What a waste. And I've heard it said about a lot of people before. They see a young man that gives himself, Brother Rick, to the call of the Lord, and maybe he surrenders the Rock of Ages, and people in the church says he'll never make it, or his family says he's crazy. He had... I know a girl that went to college. She graduated. I don't know if she was top in our class, but she graduated pretty close to the top of our class. And she had a free ride to Duke, if I remember right. And she decided she wasn't going to go to college. She was going to go do something for the Lord. And people just knocked her down because she thought she made such a terrible choice. I want you to understand that it's not what we see with these eyes. We can't see what God's doing. Even in your own life, you don't know. You might think sometimes, well, what's the use? I'm not doing anything. I've not seen any fruit. Again, you might not ever see the fruit in your lifetime. But I promise you, God's word will not return void. I promise you, if you'll plant the seeds, that seed, if it's good ground, it'll come up. And listen to me, it's not about so much about what we see. And again, you look at Joseph's life, and most people would say, what a waste. Look at that boy. He's ruined. But God was still working when nobody else could see it. And God's still working in your life. Maybe you don't see it. Maybe it don't feel like it. Stay in the book. Stay close to the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. And that's what we see here in Joseph's life. And then here comes a good one. Let's see if I can find the verses. Look at verse number 14. Get this in your mind. Joseph's in prison. Pharaoh has just thrown in jail two of his workmen, a butler and a baker, and Joseph's over them, and one day he comes in, and they're like most Baptists, and they're pity partying. They're sour, and he sees it. He says, "Why are y'all so sad?" And they said, "Well, we've had a dream, and we don't know what it means." Well, he says, "Tell me the dream." And they tell him the dream, and we know that Joseph interprets the dream, and turned out pretty good for the butler, turned out pretty bad for the baker. But both, he interpreted them both just like they were true. But notice what happens here with what Joseph does. Verse number 14, he said, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." He said, verse 14, what? "Remember me." Verse 15, "For indeed I have stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon." And so he's saying, "Remember me, remember me. When you get out of here, remember me." And then we come to verse 23. "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but" what? "Forget him." Joseph asked for them to remember him, and what happened? They forgot him. And man, and I say that to say this, you can't count on man. Don't put your trust in man. I don't care if it's the preacher or if it's your best friend or whoever it is. I promise you, man will fail you. Here Joseph says, "Hey, buddy, I've done something for you. Remember me." And when he got out, he didn't remember. And man cannot be counted on for help. When a man, and this is all men, when man gets what he wants, he forgets about everybody else. That's just the truth. Man looks after himself. And again, the key to that is to remember, just know that. Don't put your trust in a man. The Bible says that God be true. And every man a what? A liar. That's me, that's you. Now, I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to lie to you. I don't want to forget you. But the fact is, if you put your trust in me, you're going to come really short. Because I'm not going to do everything you think I should do. So Joseph here finds out that you can't trust man. But remember, God will be faithful. God will not forget you. Man will, God won't. And again, just do right. God will take care of the rest of it. Just every day, get up, hit the nail on the head the same way every day, and just keep plowing on for the Lord. So that's sort of the chapter broke out. But the thing that I want us to look at this evening, and I think this is one of those things, and I don't think we have trouble here. Maybe we do a little bit. I don't know. We, in my mind, we've got something that a lot of churches don't have. We've got a lot of Bible, and I like the Bible. Now, most churches today don't do much Bible. We use the Bible around here, but a lot of people, and maybe people you talk with, maybe people you work with, and maybe somebody here tonight, you feel this way from time to time. Sometimes I don't have a clue. When I'm reading my Bible, I was like, "God, what does that mean?" And some things I still don't know what it means. Some things God has showed me that I thought wrong. But I want to look at something that Joseph says here tonight when he's dealing with these facts of dreams. And it's found in verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God?" And that's the thing I want us to look at just a little bit tonight. I got, I don't know, half a dozen verses that we can turn to this evening. But I want us to think on that thought tonight about interpretations. Well, I know Joseph is dealing with dreams, and dreams is one of those funny things. I told you a week or two ago about a dream I had, this horror. It's been a long time since, you know, that I had a dream like that. I don't know about dreams. I know God worked through dreams many times throughout the Old Testament. God came to people just like he did with Joseph here and went through with Abraham with dreams. This is one thing I do. I'll say this tonight. There is nothing new. If you wake up one morning and say, well, God gave me a dream and this is what it says, let me tell you how to deal with it. If it does not line up with this book, can it? It didn't come from God. This is all we've got. But with what God has given us, there is a proper interpretation of the Word of God. And that's the part I want us to look at this evening just a little bit, is on the fact of where do we get our interpretation of what the Bible says. Now, my opinion this evening is I try my best to let the Bible speak for itself. I just believe the Bible says what it says. Now, we're going to talk a little bit as we go through this evening, as we look on this fact tonight. Listen, you go to my office, there's books all about around on every wall. I've not read through all of them. I've read through some of them. Some of them I've read pieces and bites about. I listen to preaching about every day. I've heard all kinds of things. Some things I agree with. Some things I don't have an inkling that they're right. But there's all kinds of things, especially with the internet today. You can Google anything and find your answers, you know. But just again, we need to make understand when it comes to the Word of God, we need to understand there is only one interpretation of the Word of God. And where do we get it from? What did Joseph say? Does interpretation not come from God? So that's where we need to understand that we get our interpretation of the Word of God is from God Himself. And listen, tonight, there, and I'll say it now, I'll probably say it again later, there's a lot of people in our world today. Now, you go back and you look at the history of our Bible and see how God brought along the Bible. And I'm thankful today that we have the Word of God at our disposal. We can read it. We can study it. We can just carry it. We can hear it preached. But it's not always been that way. And even today, there's a lot of people in different religions, and we'll say more about it as we go, that feel that they believe that there's only certain people that can interpret what the Bible says, especially with Catholicism. That was one of the power tools, that only the priest could understand what the Bible says. Well, that's not true. God, we're going to see Scripture tonight that tells us that we can interpret the Word of God. You don't have to have a high school education. You don't have to go to Bible college. You don't have to be the brightest light on the tree. But anybody, I don't care who they are, if they're saved, can interpret the Word of God. So tonight I want to challenge you not to sit back with an excuse of, well, I can't understand it, or I can't interpret it, or I don't know. That's an excuse. That's a lie that you've bought into. Every person in here tonight can learn the Word of God. It's here to be interpreted, and God has not hid anything from us. It's here. And the more you want light, God will expose more light to you. Now, I know I'm getting ahead of myself, but our grandbabies, they'll start kindergarten. And I was sitting on the porch with them Monday, Tuesday, whatever day it was. Me and Holly was counting. She did good up to about 13. How does she learn that, though? I believe that in the next year she'll be able to count probably to 100. How, though? Right now she don't have a clue what 100 means. Or how to get there. How's she going to get there? Somebody is going to teach her. Somebody's going to take those numbers and put it in front of her. And day in, day out, going to put those numbers. Now, I don't think we did this with Carrier, because both of my children hated math. But I love math. But I remember I was telling Hannah, Teresa's still got the index cards that her mama used to teach her verses out of the Bible, and she used that to help our children. But I remember growing up, my mom and daddy, night after night, my brother, he could not get the multiplication table. I mean, night after night after night flashcards. It's good to be the second child. I learned a lot watching, I promise. He didn't get it the first night, didn't get the second night, didn't get it third, fourth, fifth night. I don't know how long it took, but guess what? He finally got it. How, though? By constantly reading and studying and learning the truth. I don't care if it's new math, old math. 2 plus 2 is 4. Always has been, always will be. Same thing in the Word of God. The same truth that Paul stood upon is the same truth that I'm standing upon. And we just keep learning it and learn. Wouldn't you think, and I thought this way, wouldn't you think after 2,000 years, a little less, of having the Word of God, that we would know everything there is to know about this book? But we don't. I don't know who's in here been saved the longest. I don't know who's been reading their Bible the most. But I don't care if you've been saved 100 years and you read the Bible through 1,000 times every year. This book just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But the fact is that we can know the Word of God. Look with me over in 2 Peter. I hope tonight you'll be encouraged to understand, to listen, you might not see it right now. You might not understand every bit of it. There's a lot of things I read over and I'm just thinking, I don't have a clue. I'll try to study some things out and still don't have a clue, so I just go on. Figure the Lord will show it to me when I need it. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Verse 20 says, there is no private interpretation of God. God did not tell Joseph Smith something that he didn't tell me. God's Word is God's Word, and that's the only truth that we have, and we must learn to interpret the Word of God. Interpretation of truth is not just given to a few, but it's given to anybody that desires to learn. And again, there's many that believe you got to be educated. Many believe you got to be a preacher. Many believe you got to be a priest. There's many that listen. God has not said that these can know and these can't. The only thing that I find that's of truth about understanding the Word of God is the difference between a saved man and a lost man. The only thing I can see. So again, I want to encourage you to understand, I don't care what your education level is. It comes back through my mind. Can't think of that preacher's name. I've heard him preach. He's blind. His wife reads his Bible to him. He's never read one part of the Bible with his own eyes. His wife reads it to him and he takes what she reads and they study together. And then he gets up and preaches what God has put into his heart. Think about that. I don't remember who it was that lost their limbs and had no way, was blind and lost their limbs and literally used their tongue to feel the braille of a Bible. Their tongue would bleed and bleed and bleed because of rubbing their tongue across all those little dots over time and time again. But they desired to read the Word of God. It's possible. It's doable if you desire to do it. It just takes a teachable spirit. And again, we find here in Genesis chapter 40, verse number 8, Joseph says, do not interpretations belong to God. And again, I know the Bible says that God has given us pastors and teachers and all those things. And I'm thankful. Again, I'm thankful. Listen, I'm not chucking away that of what I have learned a lot over the years by sitting under good preaching and sitting under good teaching. But that's just a little minute part. Again, all the great books and the preachers. But again, God has given us truth and we can understand the truth. And again, we need to look to see what God has said. And again, I say it from time to time, don't believe me. Look what the Bible says. So let's look tonight a little bit about what God says about understanding the Word of God. Look with me in Deuteronomy this evening. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says in verse 21 of chapter 18, it says, And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet that has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now, what's that have to do with studying the Word of God? You got to realize, and I know we always point at other people, but I've had to look back on some things that I thought I was right on and realize I wasn't right on them. And I'm not going to move until God shows me that I'm wrong. But we see here, how do you know when a man speaks, and that's what a prophet does, a prophet speaks, how do you know when he's telling the truth or not? And then it says, you know, well, the things that he said didn't come to pass. And we've got to realize one thing tonight again. We're not going to learn the Word of God through a man. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. If I can see it, you can see it. There's nothing new in this book. So again, we've got to realize, again, as I said there in Romans chapter 3, let God be true and every man a liar. Realizing that's a fact that you just got to get to. There's many preachers on TV. People watch them, and they don't always tell the truth. There's a lot of preachers in churches that stand up. Again, I think it was Sunday, I might have said something about it. I've been to a lot of funerals before, and that's where I usually hear a lot of it, because you never know who you're going to get into with a funeral. They'll get up and say, well, the Word of God says. But the Word of God, what they said, was not what the Word of God says. I read this today, and I thought, how sad. Brother Beatty sent this out. Southern Baptists voted, I don't remember the dating time of it, they voted in a new Bible amongst all the other new Bibles they've got. This new Bible that they just voted in is what they consider part of their Bibles, is a non-gender Bible. They've taken everything out that in the Word of God that has to draw mindset to a gender-specific person. What are they doing? They're following after this homosexual, transgender agenda of our day to get people to think that we're all the same. Well, listen, we're not all the same. God didn't make us that way. But we're the church. Look at how the church is buying into this mess. You better know your Bible. And we can understand the Bible. We can interpret the Bible. But one of the things that you got to realize this evening is man will not be right. We're going to learn the Word of God only one way, and that's through God Himself. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 29. This is a big help right here, I believe. Deuteronomy 29:29. Verse 29 says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us, and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Now, what does that verse say? We have 66 books that God has given man. Do you think this is all God knows? Of course not. We have no idea what God was doing before he made Adam and Eve. We don't know how the angels and the things. There's a lot of that we just don't know. And people get so wrapped up in trying to figure out things that you're not going to ever know. And that verse tells us that God, there's secret things that man is not. Why? Because God don't want you to know. It's not for you to know. But isn't it amazing that men will spend more time trying to figure out the things that they'll never know than taking the things that we should know and using what God's given us? And look at that verse again. He tells us that the secret things belong unto the Lord, our God. Then that little word, but those things which are revealed. That's this book. God has revealed himself through these pages. Belong unto who? Us. And then notice what it says. And to our children forever. Thank God for the preservation of the Word of God. But then there's a key there. That we may do. That's what the Word of God's for. That we can read and study and learn to turn around and do. That's how we know what to do. Now, I know some people, you know, I think about people I went to school with. I went to college with a boy. It was so natural for him. It just seemed like he knew everything. I didn't wake up one day knowing everything. I had to study and dig. And some people, some things just come a little clearer to. But we can all achieve. Again, how do we learn to do what we know how to do? We do it through the Word of God. That's how we learn these things. So again, they're revealed that we can do. Again, a lot of people know, but they don't do. Look with me in Psalms chapter 25. Interpreting the Word of God. This is, I mean, Brother Ed was talking about this earlier. Get Psalms 25 and then get Luke chapter 23. I believe with all my heart what I'm getting ready to show you is the problem with mankind. That's a pretty broad statement. I guarantee you, according to the Word of God, that this is the problem with all mankind. Let's look in Psalms 25 first. Look at verse 14. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Again, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. You know why a lot of people don't ever learn the Word of God? They don't fear the author of the Word of God. The fear of God is something that's missing in most people's lives. Look over in Luke. Let me show you how I know this is true. Here we have that great day of Calvary. Our Lord's hanging on the cross. Either side is two thieves. Look here in Luke chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Verse 40. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God? What was the difference in those two men? One feared God and the other didn't. What's the difference in people today? Some fear God, most don't. And when it comes to the Word of God, most people never get the light of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, because they have no fear of God. And God tells us in Psalms there that He gives that secretness to those that fear Him. So again, we can learn the Word of God, but it comes through fearing God. Look at Isaiah chapter 29. We're coming back to Luke here in a minute, but go to Isaiah. Hold your finger there in Luke. We'll be back in just a second. Isaiah chapter 29. These verses have to do with again, the fact that a lot of people never learn the Word of God because they feel like they've been told, they feel like that they can't learn it. They feel like only preachers or pastors or Bible college students can learn. Let me throw this one out there too, and I don't go there. If you go there, that's fine. I'm not going to beat you up for this. I understand where you're coming from. I know the truth of what you're saying. I don't have to run to the Hebrew or the Greek to know what this book says. God gave me this book in the English language. I don't have to run to a Hebrew or a Greek to figure out what God said. Now, a lot of people say, if you can't see the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic, you're not going to understand it. I don't believe that. If that was true, why did God give us an English Bible? Look at what this verse says, beginning in verse number 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and hath closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers and the seers hath he covered, and the visions of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he said, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Again, many people will not ever learn the Bible. They'll sit in church, they'll hear what a preacher says, they'll hear what a teacher says, but they'll never really, again, if all you're getting Sunday school, thank God we got good Sunday school, and I'm glad there's great preaching out there, but if that's all you're getting, you're not getting much. You're going to get, you're here tonight, so most of y'all are getting three or four services a week between Sunday school and preachings. Some of them more because you listen to it during the week. I understand that. How much time did you feed your flesh today? Well, I got to eat. What about spiritual food? And again, a lot of people feel like this book is sealed and they can't unseal it because they're unlearned. That's not what God said. God says if you'll listen to Him and believe Him, He'll teach you the book. Look over in Luke chapter 10. Come back to Isaiah in a moment. Look at Luke 10 now, though. Look at verse number 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. You know why a lot of adults never learn the Word of God? Because you don't believe as a child would believe. If you can't figure it out, you don't believe it. You let education, you let men direct you, but you know what a child does? It's that childlike faith. A child just believes God's going to do what He's going to do. A I've used it before. I'll say it again tonight. When I was in college, our first part of electronics and electricity was all DC. Everybody understood DC. I mean, we had 100 and some students, I guess, in our class. The next semester, we went from DC to AC. Nobody understood AC. And most of them, we went from 100 and some students down to about 30 some. Because they all flunked. Because they couldn't see it and they couldn't understand it. You know what I realized? I don't have to know what makes it do what it does. It just does what it does. And that might sound real simple, and it might seem like, well, that ain't much. But I promise you tonight, if you'll get that kind of attitude with God, I don't know how God's going to do it. There's no God's going to do it. How's God going to roll the sky out like a roll? How's he going to do that? I don't know, but he's going to do it. How does God hold all the water in the palm of his hands? I don't know, but he does it. I'm saying that we need to understand that if we'll get back to this, believe in it. You don't have to always know how to dot every I and cross every T. I'm not saying don't study. I'm not saying not try to get all the education you can, but don't let education steal God from you. Trust God that he'll do what he says he'll do. Look back over in Isaiah. Two more places after this one. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 talks about how a newborn babe desires that the milk. And what a great truth there that we, you know, Brother Ed was saying this even Sunday. We've got talking about it with people. When people get saved, you know, even with a new baby, you know, mom's got to feed that baby. Somebody's got to train that baby. You just don't take it home and set it before. Say, okay, fridge is there, cabinet's there. Make yourself a home. It'll die. Well, same thing spiritually. There's got to be some discipleship. There's got to be some learning. And there's got to be some direction. But one thing, too, that we got to be careful with, and I'll be honest with you, we have lost people that have visited our church, and I'm careful to say this in the right way, but it's just the truth. We've had people come to our church visiting that wasn't ready to swallow some of the things that they've been hearing. Because a lot of our, I'm talking adults, most of our adult classes are feeding steak. And when a person visits that's not barely off the bottle, maybe not even on off the bottle, they come in and you got a teacher that's, or a preacher that's turn here, turn there, and they don't even know where Genesis is. They struggle. And it bothers them. And again, it's just like you that teach in public school or teach in any school. You know, you get 30 kids in there, not all 30 kids are on the same plane. But you got to teach in such a way that the ones that are mature and the ones that are not so mature are all getting something. But even we've got to be careful because a lot of times we'll get puffed up in knowledge. You know, we think that, well, look, we have arrived. Look at all that. I'm such a Bible scholar. And we'll treat people like, and this is the analogy or the thought. We had and I've used this before. Had a young man in our church that got saved at a later part of his life. He got motivated reading the Bible. And I think it was on a Wednesday night or Sunday night. I think it was a Wednesday night. He come in, man, he was excited about what he found in the Bible. You'd have thought he found something that no man had ever saw before. He figured out where Israel got his name from. Me and Preacher Whalen just stood there and bragged on him. Well, preacher, anybody should know that. He didn't know it. He was a grown man. But he learned the Word of God. And we need to learn as we're dealing with people not to beat people down because they don't know. You didn't always know either. But because you think you know now, you think you're superior. Don't get there. Love them where they're at. Encourage them to keep going. And this has something to do with it. Look here in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. By this, therefore, Isaiah 28, verse 9. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. That's how you learn. This is, I said, with the multiplication table. Man, I do remember this with our children. When we was homeschooling using a Becca. How many homeschool used a Becca? Well, we got a few. Why in the world did they do so many big words and spelling at little ages? I mean, they knew how to spell when they got through. I know that. But I remember sitting there over and over trying to teach somebody to spell a word. It's a kid like this. But they finally get it. Same thing again with what's it? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Just keep reading your Bible. Keep reading. Preach, I read the Bible through. Okay? Now what? Read it again. And read it again. And read it again. Why? If you'll be honest tonight, every time you've read, you'll see something like, how many times you come in here and somebody get up and preach and you're thinking, man, I never saw that before. Where'd he get that from? It's been right there the whole time. Again, we got to just keep digging in, digging in, digging in. Take your Bibles over to the book of Amos. It's one of those books you turn to every day, I bet. How do you learn the Word of God? I think as we look here at this verse, Amos chapter 3, I think a lot of it, just as in our life, again, is why you do. If you try to study the Word of God just for simple knowledge so that you can feel like you're bigger and better than somebody else, you're not going to learn a lot. But I believe when you have the right motive and the right heart, and this is what we'll see here in this verse and in the next verse we're going to look at, but Amos chapter 3, look here, verse number 7. Surely the Lord will do nothing. Aren't you glad it didn't stop there? Sure, the Lord will do nothing. It's always sad. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. A servant. A prophet's one that proclaims truth to others. The Bible says that God will reveal his secret unto his servants. Are you a servant tonight? Are you wanting to say, God, give me something so I can give it to somebody else? God, give me something so I can go be a witness? God, give me something that I can help teach and train? God will give the truth of the Word of God to those that will serve. Last place, look with me in the book of Daniel. Listen to Daniel here in Daniel chapter 2, verse 30. And I think this probably is a good place to wrap up because, again, why do you want to know the Word of God? Verse 30 says, but as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes, that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. As you study, as you dig, as you look to learn the Word of God, if you go in with the mindset and realize that you want to learn so you can help your children learn or your husband learn or your wife learn or people at the workplace can learn, God will show you and keep showing you and keep showing you. Why? Because you're letting it come in that you can take it right back out. And Daniel says, it wasn't given to me that I could have wisdom over somebody else. It was given to me so that I could give it to somebody else. And that's what we are. We're nothing but conduit. God puts it in us that we can take it and give it right back out. And again, a lot of good preachers, a lot of good books, but there's only one book that really matters, and this is this book. And you can know, Joseph said that interpretation is from God. Tonight, if you want to know the Word of God, go to God. Tell God, God, I want to know. There's still things that I pray, God, I want to know. Some things He shows me, some things I'll never. And I'll close with this. A teacher I had in elementary school, I despised. She taught science. But she said one thing that sticks in my mind. I can't remember anything else probably she taught me, but I remember one thing. She says, some things you'll just have to wait till you get to heaven and ask God for yourself. And that's okay. When God wants us to know it, He'll show it to us. If He don't want us to know it, He ain't going to get it. But when it comes to the things that He has given unto us, this book, we can know it if you'll let God teach it to you. Don't believe all the preachers just because they call themselves a preacher. I can take this King James Bible. Oh, yeah, King James, that's us. I can take this King James Bible and teach a lot of false doctrine. Pick a little here, pick a little there. It's dangerous. Sharp. Cut you. Be careful with it. Rightly divide it. But don't be scared of it. Learn it so you'll know. Let's stand together this evening.